free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Made my statement to Trump. I've made my statement to the world. I've made my statement about how they're now trying to put myself and my dear sweet father in prison. That makes me want to fight that much harder against these liars and make sure Robert Mueller goes to prison and Hillary Clinton goes to prison. The stakes are so high, and these people, these sociopaths, are reaching for it all. The globalists were just boss hogs, and they just wanted to run stuff, and they weren't trying to teach kids how to have sex with pedophiles or pushing all this evil globalism or bringing in radical Muslims. I'd oppose them and be for another group that was better, but I would not be risking my life. It's not just an honor. It's a duty and a pleasure and a compulsion to fight this new world order, because even though I was an atheist, if you look at this globalist system, it's the definition of Satan. So I think the establishment needs to know, and all these vitriolic, low IQ people that have some existential envy of success or goodness or whatever it is, that want a war with everybody, I don't think they understand the door they're opening, because I can play a few, you know, pieces down the board here, which it seems evil people don't ever look into deeper levels. And all I see is their total destruction, which I don't even want. But if my destruction has to trigger in the end what has to happen, I am extremely honored. So I want to go out as a winner, whether we get them to back off and stop, we have any renaissance, or whether we get destroyed this process, they're going to lie about us, create a false history. I want folks to know we are where we wanted to be, and we stood up for what was right, Roger.
Just to be clear, you've never taken a dime from any Russian entity, period. None. RT, the Internet Research Agency, anybody else, Concord. This is all BS. Declassify the documents, Mr. President. Bring the whole house of cards down.
That's the thing that's so painful about all this, is that we have all the cards, and then we sit back and ask, why doesn't Trump play the cards? I'm very honored to be having Mueller openly trying to indict me and my father for no reason. I am extremely honored to be involved in all this and trying to restart a renaissance, because I've never felt closer to God. In fact, I'm not a masochist. I don't like pain. I actually, as this gets worse, feel more fulfilled, because I know I'm not bad. I know I'm American, a human that stood up for humanity. My nationalism is humanity, but I'm an American. I'm proud of America.
We need to recognize that the defense is in the ideas, in the debate that we invigorate as policymakers, policy shapers, because that's who you are. That's who I am. That's who Roger Stone is. That's who everybody who engages as a disruptor the status quo. And that's what they're really fighting. So they first try and attack you personally, get you off message so you're being defensive. And people who listen to us, pick up the phone and make those calls to your legislative bodies, to your legislators. Let them know you're watching. Let them know to reestablish.
Don't just think, as you're censored on Facebook and Twitter everywhere, that you can't march or call or get involved. And I totally agree
right
with you, Doc. So what would you say to Trump then? Clearly, the word is they're building up towards a move against him. He means well, but he doesn't know how to pick the right people. He's so betrayed.
And I would say this, if the media won't cover you, then do the fireside chat once a week. Do an hour and talk directly to the American people and lay out your ideas for the week. The established order is attacking human beings, you and me, everyone, on a very base level, to divide us, to separate us, to create a tribalism that allows for a total breakdown. And that's where you get totalitarian governments. You don't get it when people respect each other enough to engage.
I was about to say,
debate.
Trump's trying to create real unity about nationalism and free market and innovation.
Right.
And you turn on leftist news, it is like Hitlerian, the division.
January 22nd, 2019, you're watching The David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in once again for David. Huge news from all over the world. We have the global elite in Davos continuing to plan their domination of us, the little people. We won't let them. We will expose what they're up to. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Deceit. telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight here on the David Knight Show on the InfoWars News Network. Whether you're joining us through the radio, through television, or at InfoWars.com/show, or if you've downloaded the InfoWars app, there are still a lot of ways to get to us to receive this transmission. However you're receiving it, we are glad that you're here. A lot to talk about today. We have movement in the Senate with the Republicans announcing a bill to end the shutdown on Trump's terms. We have, of course, stories from Davos. And, you know, they're very secretive about what's going on at Davos, but they can't help but let a little bit leak out. And that little bit that they do leak out, you can really discover a lot from. You can really extrapolate what they say to understand the maneuvers that they're making. Of course, we have plenty of headlines about El Chupacabra. I should say La Chupacabra. That's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I just like saying Chupacabra more than I like saying her name. It's just, you know, it has nothing to do with her looking like a monster. Now, I want to stick with this Covington Catholic School nonsense for the beginning here, because it is such an important illustration of the modern American landscape, right? So what do you have? You have, as more videos are coming out, we're seeing over an hour of these young men, these young boys from a Catholic school in Kentucky being totally bombarded with insults and racist rhetoric and anti-gay rhetoric, homophobic rhetoric. I mean, you have the Black Israelites saying the N-word, calling, you know, one of the students there the N-word, basically saying that. And here's the funny part. At one point, the Black Israelites say Trump is gay. They say you have a homo in the Oval Office. And what do the Covington boys say? They say, who cares? They say, who cares? So what you have are young, high school aged, highly intelligent, highly respectable, highly respecting, open-minded, decent guys who are wearing the dreaded red hat, confronted by low IQ, low information, race baiting, homophobic Black guys for over an hour. You didn't even hear about that until a couple days after the event. Those guys weren't even on the radar. You would think that if liberals actually cared about who was spitting the, you know, distasteful rhetoric, they would have mentioned the Black Israelites. You didn't even hear about them. So they're being yelled at. They're being accosted. They're being demonized. They're trying to get these kids to react. The kids don't care. The kids are having a great time just ignoring them and laughing at them. And then you have the kids approached by and basically menaced by this. They keep calling him a Native American elder. He's an elder. He's a liar. He is an actor, a race baiter. He has done this before where he's, stood on the graves of his ancestors and tried to claim some sort of racial problem where there was none. He lies over and over and over again in his interviews. He just created this entire situation out of whole cloth, totally false. But who's the demon in this situation? Well, from the point of view of the mainstream media, it's those boys. It's those boys who acted utterly respectable, utterly decent, handled themselves far better than most adults were in the face of adults harassing them and trying to provoke them. So, I mean, this is the world that we live in now, where the bad and the good have done a total 180, total flip. And the good guys are portrayed as the bad guys. We're going to hear their first, the boys' first response to this. Of course, Donald Trump comes out and tweets, looking like Nick Sandman and Covington Catholic students were treated unfairly with early judgments proving out to be false, smeared by media. Not good, but making a big comeback. Quote, new footage shows that media was wrong about teens' encounter with Native American. So good. He's finally on the bandwagon. People were tweeting at him all day yesterday saying, hey, get on this, tweet out about this. He finally does. Of course, the Covington boys are still receiving death threats. The tweets are still up. People are actually posting the fact that they've reported these tweets to Twitter, and Twitter comes out and says, yeah, we don't see anything wrong about, you know, these people saying, hey, lock them in the school and burn the school down. No problem with that. The liberals are becoming so unhinged and so exposed in their hypocrisy. They have no principles whatsoever. It is a blatant anti-male, anti-white, anti-conservative bigotry that drives these people, bar none, no other admixture of any other concerns for these, for the people in the media. They don't give a rat's behind about racism or inequality. They don't care. They want to demonize and destroy white people, and it's blowing up in their face because these white boys were utterly respectable and showed respect to the people around them. But I want to go. Let's go first to here. This is Donald Trump Jr. going on Fox and talking about how the media is using this story and stories like this to, as he puts it, subvert the American media. This is clip four, guys. Let's go to that now.
Apparently being called out by the Mueller team wasn't enough. Carrying on.
We have to wait and see what happens. And if family members of Trump are going to be implicated, that could be a reason for him to resign and try to work out a deal to save his family.
Don, they were going to right to impeachment, then to resignation. And
well,
then...
I mean, they got him this time, Laura, you know, like the other 75 times, because they haven't exactly panned out. By the way, no different than the story you covered at the beginning, right? You had some Catholic schoolboys that were at a right to life march. OK, they were wearing a MAGA hat. They had to pounce because the media wants that to be true. They want a bunch of nice Catholic kids happen to be white. They want them to be the enemy. This is what they've created. The media has done this to themselves. They have shot themselves in the foot time and time again because they so desperately want this to be the truth, as opposed to saying, you know what? Trump's done a darn good job as president. If you look at any economic metric today, Laura, we are substantially better off than we were 2 short years ago before he took office, because he's doing a great job. Imagine what he could do without the noise, without the, oh, every day there's a new reason for impeachment. Let him do his job. That's the job he was elected to do. And the media right now is really trying to subvert this democracy. They've done more to hurt the credibility of this country's institution as a democracy than anything in history.
Not only the president, but anyone.
That man gets it. That is Augustus Caesar. No, I'm sorry. That was Donald Trump Jr. saying that the media has done more to undermine this democracy than any other institution. He is dead on with that assessment. He brought up the fact that we are 2 years into the Donald Trump presidency, which is something that I will be talking about later today, just the sheer amount of accomplishments that President Trump has been able to make in this first 2 years. We are just 2 days, 2 days ago was the anniversary of that 2 year, the 2 year anniversary of him being inaugurated. But I want to point out one more level of hypocrisy embedded in this Covington story. And I won't show you the video because there's a lot of cursing, but at one point we can roll the B-roll. You can see not the main, not the elder, not the Native American elder, chief squatting bull, but his friend there, the other Native American, who is telling the white kid, you're European, you don't belong here, this is our land, get out. He says, we've been here for a million years, you've been here for two or three generations, which is so hilarious to me that on the liberal side, you have Native Americans saying, this isn't your land, you stole this land, you're coming in here and blah, blah, blah. All right. My family's been here for like eight generations, all right? That's a long time. We built this country. This country didn't exist before we got here. But also on the liberal side, you have them saying illegal immigrants are more American than Trump supporters. You have them saying that as soon as they set foot in America, they are Americans, full stop. They are full citizens. They should get to vote. They should get welfare. They should get everything. So this is just another level of the hypocrisy. You've been here for eight generations. You're not American. It's stolen land. You just got here. You're an American. It's insane.
On the first part.
Die, you way-taking scum!
some high quality memery from Trollosaurus Rex. Funny stuff. If you're watching on radio or listening on radio, rather, you just missed a funny edit of Zoolander with the MAGA boys from the Covington School. Now we're going to hear their response in this segment, but first I want to listen to this interview by Chief Spreading Bull on CNN as he just lies to the face of America on CNN. Let's go to that clip now.
We are hearing from a Native American elder and Vietnam War veteran speaking to CNN after a disturbing viral video shows a group of teens harassing and mocking him in the nation's capital. Here's
lies
the video
on
sparking
lies
outrage
on,
on social media right now. Nathan Phillips was beating his drum.
Look at him smirking.
And singing
an
American
smirking.
Indian protest song.
How dare he?
And this was on Friday on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial when he saw a clash erupting between a group of teenage students and four African American young men preaching about the Bible and oppression. Well, Phillips
preaching about the Bible and oppression.
Sensed danger.
Calling people the N-word and raving
when
against homosexuals.
When I was there and I was standing there and I seen that group of people in front of me and I seen the angry faces and all of that, I realized I had put myself in a really dangerous situation, you know. It was like, here's a group of people who were angry at somebody else and I put myself in front of that and all of a sudden I'm the one who's all,
right.
all that anger.
Let's
and all
pause
of that.
It real quick. Real quick, I want to let this play out, but it's just there's too many lies already. We're like 10 seconds in, but he does admit there that he put himself in the center. So that actually contradicts the intro that CNN just gave him where they said that he was surrounded. No, he wandered into the middle of a bunch of smiling, cheering, chanting boys. And he says, oh, they were just those angry faces were just so scary. And I realized I'd put myself in a target and I had to get out. It's like, it's so much bullcrap piled on top of each other. I'm surprised he can still breathe. Let's keep going.
Wanting to have the freedom to just rip me apart, you know, that was
scary. Wow, he's a mind reader, too.
And I'm a Vietnam Times veteran.
A Vietnam Times veteran. Pause it right there. When they say he's a Vietnam veteran, we went over the numbers yesterday. He was not old enough to actually be in Vietnam. So when he says I'm a Vietnam Times veteran, what does that mean? Is that just a squirrely way of saying that you were in the army generally around the time that Vietnam was happening? This guy is so full of crap. It's astonishing. We'll let it go for a little bit longer.
Mentality of there's enough of us. We can do this.
Then Phillips describes the tense moments now being replayed over and over again online when a young man got right in his face. Watch.
It's the opposite. When he got right in
when
a young man's
going
face.
Going forward, and that massive groups of people started separating and separating and moving aside to allow me to move out of the way or to proceed. This young fella put himself in front of me and wouldn't move. And so I could, if I took another step, I would be putting my person into his presence, into his space.
Look at the boy, look at the children around him, and listen to what he says.
The thing that the group of people would have needed to spring on me.
To spring on me. They're all just laughing and dancing. You can pull it down now. This guy's so full of crap. CNN knows they're full of crap. This is the thing. People are like, you know, it's so shameful that CNN and these news things, they didn't do their homework and they didn't look into it. They looked into it. They know what they're doing. They know they're lying. They're watching the footage that disproves him as he's saying it. And yet they continue with their lies. They say in their intro something that contradicts something he says in the next sentence. They're full of crap. They know exactly what they're doing. Now let's hear from the boys themselves. This is the video statement, clip 13, guys. Covington Catholic students respond for the first time to the media lies. This is from CJ Pearson's Twitter.
2-1, kill.
Hi, I'm Sam.
I'm Grant.
And we're here today to talk to you about how the recent negative media controversy has affected us as individuals and our school as a whole. Several media platforms blatantly lied about the events regarding the controversy in D.C., and it has affected us as a community and individuals greatly. There have been many threats against our lives, against our parents. Some of these threats include that we should all be locked in the school and it should be burned to the ground, the school being bombed, school shooting threats. It's really scary. I know that a lot of people are scared to go to school tomorrow and won't be attending because of what could happen. There have been cops there ever since the incident, and I think there'll be a lot more tomorrow. A lot of the negativity and the hate surrounding this event comes from people on social media doxing people that were at the event. I myself wasn't even present, but I'm very vocal about defending my school and my peers, and I have been doxed on three separate occasions. This has led to a tsunami of hateful messages and threats and everything above. I was also doxed, as well as my good friend Grant Neltner, in a tweet. A lot of these doxes have been deleted because they realized they were wrong and they don't want to face the backlash for it. A lot of people's parents were also doxed. Their work was called. This could greatly affect their job. They could be fired. There are real consequences for these actions, and it all spews from a 30-second clip taken out of a two-hour video out of context, and people jump into conclusions before the full story is released. Nobody did their research, and it's now showing.
So just to recap, these are children. These are children who were harassed and assaulted by grown-ups, yet the children were more poised, more respectable, more more adult than the adults are, yet they are now being threatened and doxed and attacks, but they're white. They're white, so, nothing ever bad happens to them. They don't have to worry about anything. Their lives are just fine. When we get back on the other side, I want to move away from this. We got Davos to talk about. We got Macron being an idiot. We got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez putting a whole new definition to the word idiot. We got lots of fun stuff to talk about, but I do want to stay on and talk about this one guy named Arlen Parsa, who goes on a Twitter rampage, a Twitter thread, where he just shows his utter insanity and obsession about these boys and says some really, really dumb things. So I'm going to break that down fully in the next segment, folks. This is The David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. In the 9 o'clock hour, I'm very excited to be joined by John Ward, one of my favorite YouTubers. We're going to get his perspective on all of this. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, we have Millie Weaver, who's going to help me sort of co-host that last hour, along with Joel Patrick, special guest who was there at the Covington event and can give us some inside information on that. Lots of big news to get to today. Don't go anywhere. Plus, a special new product release you will not want to miss.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
All right, y'all. So Arlen Parsa is the quintessential soy boy, and he goes off on this Twitter tirade. I actually saw it retweeted by Patton Oswalt, so it's getting picked up by some famous people. And I just want to go through it here and show you just the level of insanity that these people possess. So it starts off saying, finding the Covington Catholic student identity was not easy. He's not pictured in any of the school's many, many pics of student athletes on their website, apparently because he doesn't play sports. Oh my gosh, this guy is a Sherlock Holmes level detective here. He said, I sifted through a lot because I was so upset at that video. I was so fooled by the mainstream media. I was so tricked by their misapplication of the truth that I was so mad that I had to look through all of the photos from Covington High until I found who this student was. And he says, I've reviewed the student's Facebook account. I've seen family photos. I've even talked to another student who knows him. This ID is 100% ironclad. He's done it. He's discovered the ID. Here's what he says about it. He says, here are two fun facts about the main student whose ID I have learned. One, when he was a freshman, he tried to hire an essay writing service to do his homework. Hard-hitting reporting from Arlen Parsa. He discovered that a freshman in high school tried to cheat on an essay. This is breaking news. We should ruin this kid's life, right? He also says his mother is a vice president at a major financial company that you've heard of. He says, now comes the hard part, Twitter. The part where you're all going to hate me. At this point in the thread, I need to tell you all that I'm not going to share the student's identity. And here's why. He's so brave. He's so principled. He's not going to dox a child because this child was a victim of harassment. My heart goes out to Arlen Parsa. But he says, we need to zoom out here and look at the bigger picture. I've talked with students at Covington High School and those in the community. Multiple people close to the school have confirmed that it has a very serious culture problem. Some racial, some homophobic, some sexist. Well, quick question. What do you think the very serious culture problem is? Have you answered? If you said that it's too many white people, yeah, you're exactly right. That is the cultural problem that this school has, is it's just too white. It's too white, and that's a problem for Arlen Parsa. Arlen Parsa needs at least one of each minority. It's got to be like Noah's Ark in this school. But instead of animals, we have minorities, and we got to have two of each kind, and then Arlen Parsa may be satisfied. But he says, the first thing you need to know is that it's an elite private boys school with an expensive tuition. Okay, so they're evil too, because we know that money makes you evil. Whiteness makes you evil. That's double evil. These people are double evil. He says, the second thing you need to know is that it's as close to a whites-only school as you can find in the 21st century. Arlen Parsa, first of all, you grew up in New Hampshire. Okay, New Hampshire is as close as you can get to a white-only state in the 21st century. No joke, I have family in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is so white, they still discriminate against Italian people. That's not even a joke. That is the reality. But no, he says it's as close to a whites-only school. Here's another news flash for Arlen Parsa. And this actually, nobody talks about this. I don't even think people know this. Our schools are still segregated. What? What am I saying? If you go to a public school in Houston, like I did, where the races are represented a third, Hispanic, Black, and white, and with a healthy dose of Asians and Middle Easterners mixed in, I was in both advanced GTIB classes and I was in regular classes during my time at school because I don't like math or science and I don't want to spend time trying to learn that. So I went to the regular classes where it was easy. I was the only white kid in the regular classes, and rarely was there more than one Black kid in the GTIB classes. These are just facts. If you go to high school, yes, it's all races go to that high school, but if you are in all GT classes, it is very rare that you're in a class with anything but white people and Asian people. And if you're in a regular class, if you're in the you know, not advanced class, you are almost certainly going to be the only white person if you are indeed white. This is just a news flash for everybody out there that hasn't been to school in 10 years. This is the reality of the situation. Take it for what it's worth. That's just how it is. I thought I'd mention that. But I wonder how Mr. Parsa feels about the historical Black colleges and universities. I wonder if he's going to tell them they need to stop having so many Black people. I'm so sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Sending your daughter to a Jewish school. No, you can't have Jewish schools anymore. You can't have Catholic schools anymore. I mean, I know that Catholics are predominantly come from ethnic backgrounds that are Irish or Italian or European. So that would make sense that their ethnicity would be European. I know, but that makes too much sense for Mr. Parsa. He's furious that white people are allowed to exist together without, forcing Black people or Hispanic people into their ranks. I mean, is Mr. Parsa going to force Black people to play lacrosse now? Is lacrosse too white for him? Native American sport, by the way. But he says Covington Catholics race problem. There's a problem that it's white people. That's a problem to him. I don't know who else has a problem with this. I don't know if he has a problem with HBCUs or Jewish schools or anything like that. He does have a problem with white people being together. I know. It's so evil that people are allowed to choose who they hang out with. He says their race problem is not limited to the almost all white student body. However, before the school hastily removed its teachers directory yesterday, gee, I wonder why they would do that. They're probably trying to hide the fact that the teachers were white, right? No, it has nothing to do with the fact that people were threatening violence and finding out this information and doxing it and putting it out on the internet. Certainly, they were just trying to hide the race of the teacher. He says every period, single period, teacher period is period white. They're all white, my God. He says this, you know, his school culture, talking about the principal, seems to be deeply racial toxic. This is how these racists think about things. They say, if you are all white, that is a problem. It is actually deeply racist and toxic. You know, forget the fact that these people may or may not have any sort of feeling about race. That doesn't matter anymore. If you go somewhere that has all white people, it is racist and dangerous and toxic. And this is the funny thing that I find when, you know, people are like, well, we're going to have like black nationalism and we're going to go create an all black state. And like white people are like, okay, have fun. See ya. That'll be great. Have fun with that. They're like, we're going to have an all black school. Nothing but black people in this school. Or Jews are like, we're going to have an all Jewish school. Nothing but ethnic Jews are allowed to go to this school. You have to be a devout Jewish person to teach or attend this school. And white people, by and large, are like, okay, have fun. Enjoy that. You know, I'll come visit. It'll be fun. Look at black churches. Look at white churches. People tend to naturally congregate with people of their same race. They want to destroy that, but they don't want to destroy it for Hispanic people or black people or Middle Eastern people like Mr. Parsa is. You know, he would see no problem in having an all Middle Eastern school, an all Muslim school. He would call that progress. He would say, oh, we're winning. We're taking down racism by having an all Middle Eastern school. But if it's all white people, well, that's the problem. That's an issue. That's deeply racially toxic. And there's a serious culture problem. It's just, you know, just want to put it out there. This Arlen Parsa guy, I mean, he keeps going. It's like 15, 16, 17. I mean, so many tweets about this. The dude is insane. It's frankly hilarious. And then he ends it with one final thought. Every student in America needs to see images like this from the civil rights movement. And he posts a picture of black kids at lunch counters being taunted and harassed by white kids. If we can spread this knowledge of our past as a country, kids today will be more aware of how their actions echo history. That's right. You're echoing history by being assaulted and harassed by an elderly Indian guy. Insane. Surely you might be saying, they can't really believe what they're saying, right? The media, the leftists, what is going on underneath the surface? What are they really trying to get to? We know the anti-male sentiment. We know the anti-white sentiment. We know the attempt to try to conflate wearing a MAGA hat with a KKK hood or a swastika. We know the surface level of what they're doing, but might there be a longer game being played underneath the surface? That is the rumor, because there's one particular aspect of the Covington boys that may be paramount in how the media has chosen to cover this story. That's not the fact that they're boys, and it's not the fact that they're white. It's the fact that they are Catholic. Now, why would they be going against the Catholics? Why is the media seeding the ground for anti-Catholic sentiment? Why are they claiming that it's dangerous to allow Catholics to have schools? Why are they saying, well, if Catholics are sending kids to march in political action, shouldn't they be denied their ability to be taxed exempt since they are, you know, politically active? Let's ignore the fact that public schools actively force their students to march against gun rights. We'll ignore that from last year, the year before. But why would they want to sow the seeds of discontent against Catholics? Well, that's pretty simple. Her initials are RGB. RBG? What are they? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. is either dead already and they're hiding it, or very, very, very close to death, which means within the next few months, Donald Trump will more than likely be appointing, or at least putting forward for consideration, Amy Barrett for the Supreme Court to replace the notorious RGB, Ruth Bader, RBG. I figured it out. Yes, a Catholic woman. They're going to put a strong Catholic woman onto the Supreme Court. And so the media right now is seeding the ground for anti-Catholic sentiment that they will then harvest when it's time to claim that she should not be allowed on the Supreme Court because she's Catholic. InfoWars, Tomorrow's News Today, giving you the real under the surface subliminal meaning behind what they're doing. They're trying to seed the ground of discontent and hatred against Catholics so they can weaponize that once Trump tries to put another conservative on the Supreme Court. These are the rumors flying around. Just wait until they're true. Now, got a couple more stories about the world around us, various countries and the various states of disrepair that they find themselves in. But first, I have to tell you that this show is brought to you by a brand new product, Turbo Force, that I am so excited to talk about today. Honestly, I've not been this excited to talk about a new product that InfoWars has come out with in a very long time. And it's because I've tried it. It's because they gave me a sample of this about a month ago, and I have been eagerly awaiting its reveal to you fine folks, because I got to say, I liked it so much. It's an energy mix. It's a pre-workout mix. It's full, chock full of vitamins, from vitamin C. It's got thiamine. It's got niacin, which is the key there. Niacin is the real deal. It's got herbal energy blend with green tea leaf extract, kola nut extract, coffee berry fruit extract, taurine. Just all of the good stuff that you need for energy, for long lasting, smooth energy, not the, you know, spike in energy that you get with most energy drinks. And so they gave me a sample of this. I tried it. I loved it. I love coffee. I love caffeine. I love energy drinks. That's just me. And so when I tried this out, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, I'll try it. I really like the typical energy drinks. We'll see how this does. It did better than those. It gives you a more smooth energy, no crash whatsoever, and it's delicious. And so after I tried the sample of this, I liked it so much, I went out and tried to buy a competitor's version. Actually, I went out and bought, I won't say the brand name, but it's a brand that purports to be similar to Turbo Force, but it's not Turbo Force. And I found that it tasted straight up like chemicals. It was like I was drinking like plastic or like chemical runoff of some sort. And it was all right. It kind of gave me energy or whatever. But this stuff, it's like that other stuff, it gave me an aftertaste. It just wasn't good. It just didn't taste good. It tastes like I was drinking chemicals. This stuff tastes like you're drinking fruit punch, fruit juice. I mean, it's all natural. You can just look at the ingredients. Just natural flavors, citric acid, organic cane sugar, stevia leaf extract, monk fruit extract. I mean, it's all natural. It's all of the stuff that you need to get energy and sustain that energy throughout the day. Most people use it as pre-workout stuff, and I was drinking and people, oh, you going to work out? No. I need the energy of to support my mind. I mean, it is somewhat difficult, I have to admit, coming up here for 3 hours every single day and talking without a teleprompter, without anybody in my ear telling me what to say. It's just me up here, and I'm wielding my strongest muscle as hard as I can. That's my brain. And this really does help, you know, maintain energy with this, because after the show, I'm not done yet. I got to go and I write titles, I write descriptions, I work on the next day's show, I edit a little bit. I mean, I still have a lot to do when the show's over. I can't just go home and take a nap as much as I'd like to. I have to keep working, and this is what helps me do it, or will be helping me do it now that it's available. So folks, Turbo Force is absolutely fantastic. Energy, metabolism, alertness. This is the tropical berry flavor. Not sure if we have any other flavors out right now, but you don't need any. This is the good stuff. Tastes delicious. Won't leave some sort of chemically aftertaste like some of these other things do. Won't make you crash like the high sugar content, high caffeine content energy drinks do. It will give you a smooth rise in energy throughout the day. That has been my personal experience. You mix one packet in with 8 fluid ounces of water or the beverage of your choice and drink immediately. Best if taken early in the day. And it does contain some caffeine, but that's not the main driver. It's all of these really powerful herbs and herbal extracts. And of course, the niacin that really does a number and really, really does help maintain a high energy level. So Turbo Force, InfoWars Life, out of the gate, 33% off. Do not miss this sale. Do not let this pass by you. This is going to be, I predict, a staple product, one of our cornerstone products. It is just that good. Folks, go out, try it, buy it. Let us know what you think. Leave the reviews on the website. I can guarantee you, you will be satisfied with that purchase. Now, let's talk about a little bit of bad news, shall we? Murders in Mexico rise by a third in 2018 to a new record. Murders in Mexico rose by 33% in 2018, breaking the record for a second year running. Investigators opened 33,341 murder probes. 33,000 people murdered in Mexico. Just to give you a little bit of perspective, we can go to the death tolls of the Syrian war, and we see that in 2018, less than 20,000 people were killed in Syria as a result of the Syrian civil war. So, Syrian war that has been waging for, you know, years and years and years, nearly a decade at this point, embroiled. I mean, Iran, Russia, Israel, America, so many people in there killing each other, ISIS running rampant in certain parts throughout 2018, still has 10,000 less murders than Mexico. Okay? This is what you have to realize. Mexico is in a state of perpetual war with its cartels, in league with its politicians, keeping down its people, bankrupting its people. You have these people stealing fuel from pipelines. I mean, it is utter chaos down there. President Trump, You want to do something effective with our troops? Send them to Mexico. I'm like unironically now talking about colonizing Mexico, that like we need to go in and save these people from themselves. 33,000 murders in 1 year. 10,000 more than die in the Syrian civil war last year. That is insane. And I mean, the news doesn't report on it. We don't know anything about it. I mean, we know that, 200, 300 politicians were murdered in Mexico last year. We're, you know, a little over halfway through the first month, and they've already had their first journalists killed in cold blood there in Mexico. Mexico is collapsing, and it's not helping that anybody who can get out is getting out. They're just surrendering it to the cartels. Just, here you go. Have Mexico, cartels. Murder whoever you want. No one's going to try to stop you. Dangerous stuff, folks.
Liberty. It's your move. And now, the David Knight Show.
InfoWars had been on Roku since 2012. Applying that tidbit of information to the coordinated media meltdown that saw a Roku banning InfoWars, as if it had recently been added to Roku, opens up a fresh can of worms. InfoWars was banned despite Roku publicly stating that InfoWars had not violated any of their terms of service. The ban occurred after an unaffiliated group made a new app for InfoWars on the platform, and it began trending, sparking another mainstream media deplatforming campaign. Within hours of the unsubstantiated announcement that Roku had recently granted InfoWars a channel, even after InfoWars had been banned on numerous social media sites, a slew of media all followed suit. The chum was in the water and the sharks were ravenously feeding, yet none of them checked to see if the information had been verified. If any of these so-called trusted news sources had checked, they would have quickly altered the narrative after learning InfoWars had been on Roku for roughly 7 years, not a few weeks, as the Mockingbird Media was reporting with its grapevine-style journalism.
What we see here are two things that are very familiar. He plays by his own rules, and they all come straight out of Machiavelli.
And no media outlet has risen to the task of spreading false information about President Trump like the leftist media's Little Lord Fauntleroy BuzzFeed. First, the notorious false P-Gate controversy, and now the Mockingbird Media fell once again for BuzzFeed's allegations that President Trump convinced Michael Cohen to falsify the timing of discussions over a Trump Tower project in Moscow.
We are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If it were to be true, it means the president told someone to lie under oath, which very simply is a crime and is impeachable. If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
If you can prove that the president ordered it, that to certainly rises to the level of impeachable offense.
We're going to know if the president of the United States committed a federal felony, and at that point we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right.
In a very rare turn of events, BuzzFeed's horrendous inaccurate reporting in the name of prosecuting the president of the United States had to be disputed by special counsel Robert Mueller to stop the impeachment piranha swarm growing on the nation's airwaves. And among all of the anti-American sentiment found at the recent March for Life and the Women's March, the media fueled that negative energy by creating a false narrative implicating Kentucky teenagers wearing MAGA hats in a bizarre depiction of events after a left-leaning Native American confronted them while they simply waited for their bus at the sacred steps of the Lincoln Memorial. It all began when the students were taunted with racist slurs.
All these peckerwoods with America, make America great. This talk that garbage about what you want to do. Look at all these dusty ass crackers.
And in true Big Blue Nation fashion, the Kentucky students responded by chanting their own school songs. Now the families of these kids are being doxxed and threatened in online forums, thanks to the lopsided press now putting underage kids in danger.
When I was there and I was standing there and I seen that group of people in front of me and I seen the angry faces and all of that, I realized I had put myself in a really dangerous situation. All of a sudden, I'm the one who's all that anger and all that wanting to have the freedom to just rip me apart. You know, that was scary. I'm a Vietnam Times veteran, and I know that mentality of there's enough of us. We can do this.
The real story here is the monumental racketeering and First Amendment violations perpetrated by these publications. A raft of publications generically known as interested parties, mainly interested in subduing the truth from harming their globalist masters. John Bound reporting.
On the other side, I'm joined by John Ward. You will not want to miss it. One of the best YouTubers yet.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in once again for David Knight. It is the 22nd of January, 2019. My guest today, I'm very excited to have on the show. His name is John Ward. He's a YouTuber. He makes some of the most hilarious and poignant videos you will ever find on the topic of current events, politics. He really humiliates a lot of people on the left that are held up as paragons of virtue and truth. And I discovered him early last year, and he rapidly became one of my favorite YouTubers of all time. I instantly click on his video as soon as I see he's released a new one, and I hear he's on the line now. Thanks so much for joining me, John.
Hey, how's it going, Harrison? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on with us. So you have this very unique style of video that's like rapid fire. The way you use words is like, it always takes me about 3 seconds to understand what I just heard, and then I'm laughing hysterically. How'd you arrive at doing this? What was your pathway into doing what you do now, making these videos on YouTube?
Oh, wow. That's a complicated question. I guess, so the first video I made that I guess could be called part of the John Ward YouTube channel was in, I want to say November 2015. It was David Clark did an interview with Don Lemon. Mm. And at the time, I was sort of, I think what maybe you might call the average American on sort of the periphery of the whole political goings on and not really paying attention. But something I've always, I think, had a good understanding of is the importance of language, the language being used. And it's something until fairly recently, the left has been absolutely kicking the shit out of us with is just a far superior understanding of how important. And what I'm kind of talking about is things like the basic ones, like calling Planned Parenthood when it does the exact opposite, right?
Right.
And the Affordable Health Care Act, right, when it does the exact opposite, that kind of thing. So I was kind of right at the beginning of Trump hitting the media and stuff like that, and me getting into him and thinking he was legitimate and serious and actually going to do it. And I started trying to think about ways to start flipping some of those terms back on the left, like Trump initially did with, you know, the whole term that started it all, which is fake news. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing I've noticed as well, is that if there's one thing the left is really good at, it's branding and getting these words out into the open. And that is one of the most, you know, it's like a judo move if you can turn it around on them. Now, I have to ask you, try not to curse. We are on terrestrial radio, so we have to bleep you if you curse. But did you start off in radio, or did you start off in Tv?
It's a equally convoluted story. But my background, you know, I started studying mechanical engineering and psychology. I was thinking about pursuing a PhD. Academia is a joke. There's a long story behind that. Quit that. Did a bunch of random stuff, but kind of where the whole film thing come from. I spent about 5 years down in Texas working in indie film, which was actually right down there, kind of close to Austin, believe it or not. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I had kind of an understanding, maybe more of an understanding than the average conservative, of how the left goes about using film and sound and images, you know, and branding, like you said, to set memory hooks, to set narratives, to give themselves, you know, kind of fake bouncing points for later stories, right? Creating something that's not true to build upon later. So I just saw all of this happening. Was pretty obviously unhappy about it, and kind of started putting a plan into place. And it seems like it's been fairly successful so far. So.
Yeah, and you know, just to double down on what you're saying, I cannot hear the name Don Lemon now without hearing worst journalist of the year, Don Lemon, worst journalist of the year. You have this way of, it's like you repeat things and it becomes a meme and it gets stuck in your head and it starts to inform the way that you even think about these people. So it cannot be underestimated, the power that words have to shape our perception. And you are clearly a master of that. But you use your own name. What was the choice of using your own name? Are you worried about backlash? Are you worried about being banned because of the topics that you cover? But why use your own name? Why did you choose not to choose a nom de plume like so many people do?
I think there was a couple reasons for that. One is wanting to be perceived as serious and legitimate. Now, I'm not saying in any way there's, and I actually know a lot of these guys personally now, people that use more creative names, funny names. I mean, like Count Dankula comes to mind, right? I certainly have nothing against that, and there's honestly something kind of cool happening right now, I think, in our sort of little slice of history that we get, where people are becoming individuals, and I definitely don't have any problem with that, and never taken any issue with anyone wanting to express themselves in that way. But for me, yeah, I mean, I'm worried about getting banned or doxxed, in the sense of it would be a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
But in a weird way, I guess I'm one of those guys that sort of hopes for the fight. Part of coming to this whole, you know, if you're doing work that's trying to support Donald Trump, you get pretty used to pretty quickly, just incessant, you know, every day I get 30 emails to kill myself and, you know, kill my kids and stuff like that. It is what it is. It just doesn't bother me for whatever reason. I'm not really worried about being open about who I am. And I think being honest about who you are adds a little more weight to your argument. Sort of the whole, you know, being anonymous on the internet and trolling versus trolling using your own name. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm willing to be held accountable for my own thoughts and actions, I guess. I think that's important.
Yeah. Willing to stand there as yourself and say, hey, this is what I think. I'm not going to hide behind some avatar or something. Shows a level of bravery, as sad as that is to say in this world, that it is actually dangerous to make something even like your videos, which are entertaining, funny, lighthearted. Like, you don't go in hard. Like, you're not angry and yelling and cursing people out. You just mock them and make fun of them. But even that can be so dangerous. I really want to know, when is the video about the Covington Catholic boys coming out? Are you thinking about that? How do you choose topics? Because I just want to say, like, for me, it's difficult to choose topics like that if I'm doing something where I have to write something out. Obviously, the way you do your videos takes a lot of preparation, so you can't always be right on top of the latest headline. So how do you pick and choose what you want to spend that time on when these stories come in the news?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, especially for anyone else that's a content creator as well. I think it's a battle we're constantly fighting, and it's one that YouTube makes extremely difficult. For example, the last video I put up was immediately blocked worldwide, and I had to put it up on mine to get it out. So as a creator, you're kind of trying to balance, you know, as unfun as it is sometimes, being profitable enough to keep making videos. And then you've got sort of the breaking news cycle, which tend to be higher view count, more exposure videos for obvious reasons. And then you sort of have the more in-depth journalistic pieces and stuff like that, which are sort of high risk, high reward, right? If the story turns out to be nothing, you just wasted a whole week working on it, right? So in terms of picking what to work on, I mean, you take what the mainstream media gives you, which is a lot, right? There's an infinite amount of Don Lemon videos out there that can be done, I think. And then, you know, I try to stay in the loop with what's going on. So this whole absolutely disgusting stuff going on right now. Yeah, I have a video in the works for that. That's going to be more of a journalistic piece, you know, making some phone calls. Obviously, the interest here is getting this story correct now. So,
right.
Can't
fall into the trap that they fall into. Well, we're about to go to break. Let me stop you right there. More with John Ward on the other side. We'll come in with a clip of one of his videos so you can get an idea of his particular style. Then I want to ask him about how Trump's been doing these last 2 years. Stay with us, folks.
World champions. By now, you've probably seen hundreds of different takes on the "Hey, everyone, look over here" Gillette toxic masculinity commercial. I'm guessing they mostly went along the lines of, "Oh no, liberals are trying to get us to cut our dicks off and buy Drake albums," which I in no way disagree with. But, and as an explanation for coming a bit late to the party, there was a little too much cool York Right Freemason logo you got there going on for me to feel comfortable shredding the ad with a typical commentary video. Couple that with Gillette's weird utopian socialist origins. No, I'm not kidding. Dollar Shave Club's immediate polished response and today's release of a high production value PETA cringe-pocalypse commercial, and you'll start to see that all of this is starting to seem suspiciously coordinated. Gee, I wonder if there's anything going on in American politics the left doesn't want us paying attention to. That being said,
so that is my guest, that's the work of my guest, I should say, John Ward. You can find him on YouTube at John Ward. You can find him on Twitter at the one John Ward. And I was going to say that that is your latest video, but did you have a newer video than that that got stricken off of YouTube and has to go on Minds?
Stricken, right? I had put up every Sunday. I started this series just called On Sunday We Rest, which is starting to be just kind of a speech from history that's relevant to what's going on. So this one was Marlon Brando on rejecting his Best Actor award in 1973. If you don't know about that, it's a great video. Yeah. But yeah, that one got banned, so I had to put it up on Minds.com. So no one will see it except for there.
So they are watching you. The eyes of the censor, the eye of Sauron, is watching you ever closely.
You know, the pink-haired, extremely large whale version of Sauron for sure. So,
so where else can people find you other than YouTube and Twitter?
I'm sort of new to the kind of the alternate sites. I mean, BitChute is probably honestly my favorite. Maybe I shouldn't say that. They're all in competition with each other. What I like about BitChute, you can just auto-upload. Like, it just takes your videos from YouTube and puts them right on BitChute. So that's great. Yeah. And they don't censor anything, which is a plus. So,
yeah, for sure. So you talked about how you sort of got started doing this and making videos sort of around the same time that you became a fan of Donald Trump and wanted to support him. It's been 2 years of the Donald Trump presidency. How do you grade him? How's he doing so far, in your opinion?
Oh, flawless. Yeah.
Flawless.
I'll go to the extreme end right away. Yeah, for sure. So in my opinion, right? But if you look at Trump, any negative you have, like, so I think the most recent one is, offering a 3-year extension on DACA, right, to get funding for the wall. And people jump on this as, oh, no, you know, you're caving. I mean, I don't think any of those negatives are negatives. He knows the deal is going to be rejected. It's strategic to make Pelosi look like an idiot, which doesn't take a whole lot of pushing, I don't think. But, yeah, so, I mean, when I look at Trump, there's been, over the past 2 years, you know, a number of times where I've kind of had some head scratching and, you know, what are you doing, bro? But, no, I've seen what I need to see to know that if I don't get why he did what he did, I'll find out soon enough and it will be for the right reason. So I'm not worried about it. I'm very happy with him.
Yeah. I'm right there with you where it's like any negative, it's kind of like, well, hold on, let's wait a little bit or look at it from Trump's angle and see what he's trying to do here. I admit I'm not the biggest fan of offering the temporary amnesty, but, It definitely was a negotiation tactic, and he tells us that this is the tactic that he's doing. But what about the shutdown right now? How do you forecast this going?
Do you want me to make a prediction? I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I'll be the first to say, again, talking about the past 2 years, I don't think there's been a 2-year period that I know of in any history book I've ever read that's just been so many surprises in a row, and thinking something's going to happen and being totally wrong about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, you got me, you know, started thinking about all this stuff when you asked me, and I sort of lost my train of thought. I don't mean to sound over the top. Like, it's crazy, you know? It's crazy what's happening right now. It's awesome to be around to see it happen. I definitely get depressed like everybody else does at how absurd it all gets sometimes. And I mean, right now with this, oh, man, yeah, so it gets bad for sure. But at the same time, ultimately, I keep coming back to, I'm actually quite optimistic, which I think might set me apart from a lot of other people involved in, you know, talking about politics and stuff. And I think a lot of that, it wears on you. You know what I mean? I'm sure you understand that intimately.
But
for me, it's like, you know, all of this ought to be, in my opinion, fun. I think Trump is the most, and no one ever talks about this, he's the most fun president ever. I mean, he's incredible. It's like he will affect your mood, whether you're conservative or liberal, like you're on the roller coaster, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
And so I kind of had to sit down with myself after the first few things started to seem to go wrong and be like, look, this is a ride. Just enjoy it. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you, especially looking back. I'm a big fan of history. So looking back into history and then looking at nowadays and saying, okay, are they going to be talking about this in 100 years? I mean, people 100, 1,000 years from now are going to be saying, I wish I could have been alive at the time of Trump. It's so exciting. Like, what would it have been like to live then? And it's like, here we are. We have to appreciate it. And you're right. I see all of this stuff come down the pipe and it's like, you know, they're so crazy. And to me, I have to remind myself, like, they're only going this crazy because they're losing.
Right.
You know, somebody Alex was interviewing was saying, you know, it's like when you step on a snake's head, the body goes crazy, but you know, that's its death throes. It's dying. So we can enjoy it and have fun. And Trump is just the most fun president ever. I totally agree. And I feel bad for the people that don't get to have fun with us. They're on the other side and us having fun just makes them angry. It's like, come join us.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with all that. It's really quite great. I think that the only downside all is it gets overlooked, that I think we're all, you know, on our side having quite a bit of fun, and it's something we really needed, I think, after Obama.
Yeah.
But you know, the way I look at it is this, okay. You know, you have a lot of people that I think shy away from conflict. They get afraid of, you know, getting doxxed or exposed or just the hassle. Or like wishing they weren't in this time that was this crazy. Like this is, you know, we were talking about getting doxxed for a second ago, and I said, you know, I'm not particularly worried about it. In a weird way, I hope for it. I mean, I've hoped to live through a time like this. It's not so much about winning, but just a time where there was something good to fight for, right?
Right.
I think there's a lot of stagnant decades in U.S. history, in a sense, where people were, you know, good people looking for something to do, and there just really wasn't anything. And I'm actually quite thankful, you know, upset in a lot of ways, don't get me wrong, but I'm quite thankful I was born into a time to inherit these challenges and to be at sort of the younger end with Trump at the older end, sort of reminding us like, hey, this can be done. And here's some ways to do it. And knowing that, you know, I have decades and decades ahead of me of being able to fight this fight. I look forward to that. If that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. And you are a powerful weapon against the enemy, my friend. It's John Ward. You can find him on YouTube, find him on Twitter at The One John Ward. Thank you so much for joining us today, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're welcome back anytime, folks. Find him on YouTube, find him on BitChute. Laugh your butt off at the hilarity of the liberals failing to stop us reinvigorating the earth.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment, it's the David Knight Show.
It is an epic time to be alive, ladies and gentlemen. We are alive in a time of confrontation, of clashes, of biblical proportions. Without exaggeration, the things going on right now will dictate the course of human history for the rest of time, whether we continue our evolution to settle the stars and bring humanity to a new realm of advancement and unity, or if we collapse into the socialism and degradation and hatred and division of the liberals. The fight is being waged right now here at InfoWars, in the White House with Donald Trump, behind every single screen that is receiving this transmission, in front of every speaker that is putting out these words. There is a soldier fighting the war for humanity. We thank you so much for being with us and fighting on our side. And we do have to remind ourselves that this is epic. And above all, it's fun. We're fighting for goodness and life and humanity against the forces of evil. Sometimes it takes somebody like John Ward to remind you of that. He was my guest last couple segments. And he's got the right spirit, folks. He's got the right chutzpah that says, I'm taking on all comers. I will fight to the death And I want to fight for that. I want there to be something that I'm willing to die for. I want there to be something that I'm willing to fight for and live for. And, you know, thank God people like Alex Jones and Donald Trump are here to show us that it's worth it. Show us that it's possible. Show us that it's not, you know, hopeless in going up against this monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that JFK identified just before he was assassinated by that very same ruthless conspiracy. Now, the elites in the world, meanwhile, are in Davos, Switzerland, plotting our demise. They're there getting together. These billionaires and influencers and royalty and heads of state are there in Davos in secret rooms behind closed doors, off the record meetings, plotting how to undo, or at the very least, how to put the brakes on this worldwide revolution of humanity. And so we will be talking about just what they are talking about. We'll reveal to you the context and the underlying current that courses through Davos and the elites there planning and continuing their plot of world domination. But first, a little bit of celebration. It's been 2 years since Donald Trump took office. And my God, what a difference 2 years has made. What a celebration is in order for the sheer fact if he had done nothing but survive to this point, that would be an accomplishment. He's done so much more. Let's take a look at this video he posted on his Twitter as a celebration of the second anniversary of his inauguration.
From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Every decision on trade, on taxes, on immigration, on foreign affairs will be made to benefit American workers and American families. I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down. We will bring back our jobs. We will bring back our borders. We will bring back our wealth. And we will bring back our dreams. Do not allow anyone to tell you that it cannot be done. No challenge can match the heart and fight and spirit of America. We will not fail. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again.
Promises made, promises kept, ladies and gentlemen. There has never been a president, certainly in my lifetime, probably in the lifetime of anybody listening to this, who has been so pathologically driven by his own campaign promises, saying, this is what I promised, this is what the people vote for, I will give it to them one way or another, no matter how many elitist scumbags try to stand in my way. God bless Donald Trump and everything that he's doing. And I believe he is doing everything he can. You know, we expect so much of him, and he delivers so often, you know, and people on our side often, you know, get mad at him and say, well, blah, 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 you know, it's not good. But the man responds. You look at the people tweeting to him about the Covington boys and wanting him to say something about that. And sure enough, later that day, out he comes, full-throated support. Well, I was looking for a, you know, nice hat, you want to come to the White House kind of Obama clock boy meeting. But hey, I'll take what I can get. And what I'm getting with Donald Trump is far beyond my wildest expectations. He really is living up to the brand that he created for himself and has been doing incredibly well over the last 2 years. Now, Senate Republicans have announced a bill to end the shutdown on Trump's terms. Senate Republicans have released a measure designed around Donald Trump's proposal for breaking a budget impasse. Its centerpiece is his demand for a $5.7 billion fund to build a southern border wall, which all but guarantees Democratic opposition and no foreseeable end to a partial government shutdown. So right now, the Republicans have the Senate by 53-47, but they need a usual 60-vote threshold for bills to advance, and so far not a single Democrat has publicly expressed support for Trump's proposal because they are partisan hacks and don't actually care about refunding or refunding the government and getting it restarted. They are simply in Washington to hassle Donald Trump and put a stick in the spokes of his America First populist nationalist agenda because, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats are nothing more than useful idiots for the global elite who are still, after 2 years of their concerted efforts at unseating Donald Trump and destroying his presidency, have utterly failed to do so. Now, we went to the meeting there in Virginia last year, the year before, is David Knight, Owen Schroyer, and I, as well as some others. Kit Daniels was there too. And we exposed to you, this was the first meeting immediately after Donald Trump had been elected, and we exposed to you the real purpose behind what they were talking about, how when they said, you know, oh, we need to talk about how to deal with President Trump. It's like, no, they're talking about how to stop him. It's like everything they say is in this doublespeak, because what has happened over the last several decades is that they have been exposed. They've been opened to the sunlight. They have had prying eyes wondering, what are you doing meeting there? What are all of these world leaders, billionaires, executives, royalty, heads of state, all meeting together in secret, the secret agenda, you know, all behind closed doors? People are starting to wonder, what are you doing back there? Now, remember, before people like Alex Jones and institutions such as InfoWars exposed these people, it was all a conspiracy. Bilderberg, who's heard of that? That doesn't exist. You're crazy. It was all a conspiracy. It was all denied, you know, full denial from the people who were attending these things. Well, it finally came out that, yes, they are meeting. And so then, instead of being able to deny it, well, they have to try to spin it a certain way. They have to say, no, it's good that we elites are getting together without the prying eyes of our constituents to plot and scheme along with these billionaires and executives. So they now have to come out and talk about what they're doing there. And so what that means is they are lying. They're trying to tell you one thing when they're doing another. We will show you video of this on the other side and break down the reality of what's going on in Davos, Switzerland. Davos, Switzerland, ladies and gentlemen, is home to the World Economic Forum. What does that mean? It means the world leaders, the controllers, the seen and unseen manipulators of world markets and governments across the globe are meeting together without the prying eyes of their constituents to plan for us how they think the world needs to be governed. They don't need our input. They can handle it all themselves. That's their opinion. That is their mindset of the elites, this royalty, this we are above you. You are just peasants beneath us. And if you disagree with us, well, it's because you're wrong. And, you know, we will do whatever we want and whatever we can to exert the levers of power over you. Now, we have some pretty interesting headlines from it. You just need to read in just a little bit into how they phrase things. Citigroup, one of the largest banking conglomerates, says they hope reason prevails as Brexit heads down to the wire. Of course, the entire global governance system is desperate to stop Brexit from happening, to stop the British people from getting out from under the yoke of unelected bureaucratic rule from the EU. So when they say they hope reason prevails, that's like making you an offer you can't refuse. You know, I got a gun to your head and I say, hey, be reasonable. Be reasonable here with what I want you to do. They even come out and say, you know, maybe a second referendum would help us figure out where we are on this. That's what they do. They think they can win a referendum, so they give you one. The referendum goes against them. It goes the way they don't want it to go. So they throw sticks in the spokes. They muddy the waters. They spend 2.5 years with people from both sides arguing. But it turns out they both are trying to stop Brexit from happening. Theresa May, it was leaked, gave a speech to bankers where she said, don't worry about it. I won't let Brexit go through. I'm not for Brexit. Of course, she's put in charge of negotiation on behalf of Brexit. Lo and behold, over 2 years later, there is no Brexit deal. And now they're saying, hey, maybe we need to have another, maybe we need to have another referendum, and maybe you'll get it right this time. That's what the gangsters at the top are saying. Now, of course, we are not seeing any official diplomatic parties from the U.S., France, or Britain, rather, attending Davos. Last year, you had Donald Trump attending. In fact, he had a funny tweet about it. He said, last time I went to Davos, the fake news said I shouldn't go there. Remember, he just showed up unannounced, and it was like all eyes towards him, and like he was the talk of the town. Nobody cared about what else was going on. He says, the fake news said I should not go there this year because of the shutdown. I decided not to go, and the fake news said I should be there. The fact is, the people understand the media better than the media understands them. So, so true. Now, I want to go to this video. Well, let me read a couple more headlines. It says, never mind climate change. Davos prefers private jets. It forecasts nearly 1,500 private jet flights over the week for the World Economic Forum to airports near Davos. So just so you understand what that means is that royalty, executives, the elite hop in their private airplanes to fly to one of the richest, you know, most successful countries in the world to land there and then plot how to deny you the very luxuries that they enjoy, how to manipulate people into thinking that global warming or climate change or whatever they're calling it now is such a threat that, well, you need to limit your lifestyle, but we're going to fly our private jet to the summit to decide this. It's utter hypocrisy, and it is symptomatic of what is going on in the world. We go to this article by Michael Snyder, and we're going to try to get him on later this week to discuss this. Global inequality explodes. 26 ultra-wealthy billionaires now have as much money as the poorest 3.8 billion people. So if you add together all the money owned by the poorest 3.8 billion people living on this planet, it would roughly equal the wealth controlled by 26 wealthiest men in the world. In the world, it says, according to Oxfam's new report, global billionaires got 12% richer during 2018. This 12% increase in wealth of the very richest contrasted with a fall of 11% in the wealth of the poorest half of the world's population. Now, there is an issue with people like socialists because they see this and they recognize it's a problem, just like we see this and recognize this is a problem. However, what we see is that this entire globalist system is dedicated to maintaining and expanding this differentiation, whereas the socialists see the global system and governmental systems that have caused this division. They think that it's somehow the solution to this division. In fact, we have La Chupacabra saying that it is immoral to allow billionaires to exist, and also saying that the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Quick reminder, her Green New Deal is explicitly using the excuse of climate change and the reasoning of, oh, we have to save the earth, we have to put in climate change, to shovel in unadulterated socialism and communistic control of the government, of private enterprise by the government. So she is a tool of the elite. The billionaires are clinking their champagne glasses and setting off fireworks and celebrating just how dumb this woman is and just how easily they're able to Trojan horse socialism into America through this woman who claims to be and probably actually in her mind thinks she is fighting the billionaire class. She is not. She is a tool of them. They are using her to put forward these insane ideas that only serve to increase this wide wealth gap that we have going on here. As Michael Snyder says, what we need is a system that empowers everyone. All over the world, we need more entrepreneurs, more small business owners, and more risk takers. But instead, what we have is a system that centralizes wealth in the hands of a few and keeps everyone else down. In the 10 years since the financial crisis, the number of billionaires has nearly doubled. It's absolutely insane. But how are they going to overcome this new wave of humanity, this new wave of nationalism that is threatening to overturn their ship of globalism? Well, we go to the people themselves from the horse's mouth. This is what's on the agenda for today at Davos.
NGOs are out here in force, and you know, humanitarian presence has grown year on year. And I am here with Peter Maurer. And Peter Maurer, now we've heard David Attenborough make an impassioned plea for the environment. And climate change is a big issue for your agency as well, isn't it?
Well, it is an increasing issue. We see that on top of poverty, violence, fragility, displacements that we have observed as a humanitarian actor, increasingly in many contexts of the world, changing rainfall patterns, changing weather patterns lead to shrinking productive surfaces. This leads again to more conflictual relationships between communities. I just come back from the Sahel. You see it in front of your eye unfolding, how on top of the problems which we knew before, climate change is exacerbating some of the conflict.
Yeah, his accent even sounds like a Bond villain. You can pull it down because we've got the two pieces of information that we need from him, this guy who was telling us about climate change and the need to put restrictions on people for the sake of saving the earth. He probably got there via private jet and helicopter, but he's there to tell you how you aren't allowed to do even a 1/100th of the polluting that he does. But they say two things. So they say climate change is what they're using. That is the mechanism that they're going to use to exert control. And they also talk about NGOs, non-governmental organizations. Now, if you look at exactly what's happening with the migrant influx into Europe, as well as the migrant caravans coming up from Mexico, coming up from Honduras and Guatemala through Mexico, you see that they are aided and abetted. They are carried by buses and trucks that are funded by NGOs, non-governmental organizations. This is, as you hear from them, now I remind you, the reason I want to show you what they are saying is because they have to try to cloak what they're doing in the garments of beneficence, of friendliness, of concern for humanity and the earth and animals and the environment. Forget the fact that they in Russia and China and America are actively advocating what they call strategic aerosol injections into the earth, that is chemtrails. Ignore the fact that they are actively manipulating and changing and messing with the earth's climate. They're telling you you're bad for doing it, and they're going to manipulate you. They're going to overthrow you. They're going to destroy you using NGOs, non-governmental organizations with names that sound very nice and ideas that sound very loving. It's all to put you into slavery.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
As you know, the Trump administration's been plagued by leakers, Obama holdovers still working in the White House, or deep state operatives determined to derail the Trump train. But what goes around comes around, and it looks like now there's a leaker inside Google who's giving information to Breitbart and the Daily Caller. Hopefully you saw the previous leaked video from inside Google's TGIF meeting, which took place a few days after the 2016 election, which showed all of the executives just complaining and in shock the whole time.
I certainly find this election deeply offensive, and I know many of you do too.
And now the Daily Caller has just published some internal chats about another Google meeting where someone gave a presentation about a new product or service they're working on and was proud that it was family-friendly. But that didn't go over very well, with dozens and dozens of Google employees one of which took to the internal messaging board and wrote this. This is a diminishing and disrespectful way to speak. If you mean children, say children. We have a perfectly good word for it. Family-friendly, used as a synonym for kid-friendly, means to me, you and yours don't count as a family unless you have children. The use of family as a synonym for with children has a long-standing association with deeply homophobic organizations. This does not mean we should not use the word family to refer to families, but it means that we should doggedly insist that family does not imply children. Use the word family to mean a loving assemblage of people who may or may not live together and may or may not include people of any particular age. Stop using it to mean children. It's offensive, inappropriate, homophobic, and wrong. This Google employee is literally upset that the phrase family-friendly refers to a mother and a father and children because that's just not inclusive enough. Let me translate that liberalism for you in case you didn't understand that nonsense. This employee is literally upset that the phrase family-friendly refers to a man and a woman and their children because that's homophobic. And before you say that this was just one random unhinged employee, this post was thumbed up by 100 other employees, and here's some of the responses to it. Thanks for writing this so much, yes! Using the word family in this sense bothers me, too. Here's the best one. It smacks of the family values agenda by the right wing, which is absolutely homophobic by its very definition. It's important that we fix our charged language when we become aware of how exclusionary it actually is. As a straight person in a relationship, I find the term family offensive because it excludes me and my boyfriend having no children of our own. I'm sorry, but you're a couple. You're not a family until you have some kids, you lunatics. And your cats don't count, by the way. The Daily Caller did a great article detailing this madness, and thankfully Donald Trump Jr. tweeted it out, adding, quote, "The liberal BS never ends. Now they're attacking families." You're right, Donald, it never does end. In fact, Google's vice president, Panvi Jawanji, joined the conversation and said this. "Hi, everyone. I realized that what we said at TGIF, the name of the meeting, might have caused concerns in a way we talked about families. There are families without kids, too, and we also need to be more conscientious about the fact that there is a diverse makeup of parents and families. Please help us get to a better state. Teach us to talk about it in an inclusive way if you feel like we're not doing it well. As a team, we have a very inclusive culture and want to do it right in this area. I'm adding my team here so we can have an open conversation." Google's vice president is literally apologizing for the company talking
that about... That is Mark Dice once again breaking down the absurdity of the liberals in big tech. Mark Dice on YouTube and Twitter. A true champion of liberty and freedom, and he always puts a smile on your face. We'll be back with Millie Weaver and Joel Patrick on the other side.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight. Millie Weaver joins me via Skype. Thanks so much for joining me, Millie.
Thanks for having me, Harrison. You know, I really wanted to talk about this Covington High School story because it just keeps getting more and more interesting. Now, apparently, Covington High School, this was broken by, I believe, the Gateway Pundit reporter Cassandra Fairbanks, because she's been in communications and talking about how she's been talking with the parents of several of the students at Covington High School. Apparently, Covington High School had to cancel school this morning due to safety concerns and threats that were being made against the school by deranged, crazy people because of all the fake news stories that have been going around about these high school students alleging that they were racist, intolerant, and hateful toward this Native American veteran when we all know what happened, the media took edited clips, put them together to try to paint this story that absolutely was fabricated fake news to try to push an anti-Trump, anti-white male narrative. And we know that video footage did surface on YouTube and social media that showed the full clips originally in the beginnings of this hit piece smear campaign that the fake news media put out. And several people were reporting that these full video clips were being pulled from YouTube and many of these social media platforms. So why was social media platforms like YouTube and Facebook pulling the full unedited video clip versions down that would have instantly vindicated and proven the innocence of the Covington High School boys wearing MAGA hats? It almost seems like it was intentional that they wanted to allow this fake news story to populate the news and take over the narrative so that you would get all these leftists believing that this group of young, white, toxic masculinity males wearing MAGA hats went out and harassed a group of black men and Native Americans. And so, I mean, is this to push this Hegelian dialectic where we have problem, reaction, solution, once again, where we have all this fake news rampant on social media, then to justify censorship, more censorship, and to justify that NewsGuard site or that NewsGuard app that Google is wanting to implement, where then we have this other outside Big Brother type tech company, almost like Snopes, telling us what's true and what's not, what we can and can't trust, because this is to prevent hoaxes. This is to prevent dangerous situations because of fake news. So you have to wonder, are we going to see leftist media outlets like BuzzFeed and New York Times that perpetuate fake news routinely being thrown under the bus in order to essentially promote and justify censorship on social media of news and this new NewsGuard app that you're going to have on everyone's browsers on Google, essentially like a cart before the horse type scenario where they're going to justify it. I mean, what do you think?
No, you see a lot of people on Twitter taking up this exact argument saying, okay, now we've seen that BuzzFeed and New York Times and all these places are the progenitors of fake news. Are they going to suffer the same consequences that places like InfoWars have suffered? Even though we haven't done any fake news, they lie about us, say we did fake news, kick us off with it. Then we have BuzzFeed, New York Times actually creating fake news, actually getting these kids, you know, threatened and doxxed and in danger. They have to shut their school down. Real, like verifiable, bad fake news. But they suffer no consequences. It's the selective enforcement that is constantly being displayed by the liberals and by anybody on the mainstream media. And I have a video I want to play maybe in the next segment, or maybe we can go to it now. Tommy Sotomayor getting basically, you know, yelled at and depersoned by a Hooters waitress just for wearing a MAGA hat. And so this really lets you understand that, like, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. What matters is they're trying to crush certain voices. They're trying to crush voices that support the president, support Donald Trump. And even, you know, we saw with the Covington boys, you had these black Israelites just saying the most heinous anti-gay, anti-white, racist, anti-black, even all of this just vitriolic stuff. And
yes, some of the stuff they were saying was so unbelievably racist towards the Covington High School boys that I don't think they knew how to react. So I think that they just chanted back and they tried to remain enthusiastic. Some of the things that they were saying was, you know, they were making fun of them for being white and saying white people have lice issues, get the lice off your back. Like, they were saying some pretty racist and mean and homophobic things toward these boys. So for them to try to remain enthusiastic, laugh it off, show such restraint for high school kids when they were a big crowd that outnumbered these guys was actually something that should be admired and something that should
absolutely
be, you know, the media should have been saying, wow, such restraint these guys showed. And even when these Native American guys then came up and started beating a drum in their faces, they still just smiled and stood there and took it. So they showed unbelievable restraint. And apparently the parents of these children now are getting with lawyers. You know, Cassandra Fairbanks was tweeting out about how she talked on the phone with some of these parents, and they're getting serious. They're getting lawyers. They're going to be going after these fake news media outlets that decided to smear high school children and send witch mobs against them to where these children are terrified to even go to school. The school has had so many threats now, they've had to cancel school for the day. These are the ramifications of leftist media outlets perpetuating fake news and sending witch mobs against people without no trial, no jury, no anything, just you're guilty because the mainstream media says so. And now people's lives and safety are being put in danger. And that's why I'm saying, Harrison, that is it possible that what we're seeing here is the mainstream media purposefully and intentionally generating fake news as a way to, you know, justify things like NewsGuard that you know, people would be calling for on the right and the left? Because I noticed that some people on the right were calling for BuzzFeed after BuzzFeed's horrible fake news story came out and was, you know, disproven by Robert Mueller. And then now this, you know, people on the right even have been calling for some of these fake news sites to also be banned as a way of like, hey, they banned InfoWars, they banned Alex Jones. Why shouldn't these guys be banned? Right. What the problem here is we're seeing people on the left and people on the right now calling for more censorship, more restrictions on the First Amendment, when in fact we should be calling for less. Because the reality here is what happened is we were able to quickly debunk the stories that happened, especially the one with the Covington High School kids, because people were able to get the video footage up that vindicated these young boys. And if social media giants like YouTube and Facebook didn't keep pulling them down with their algorithms and their censorship technologies, it would have been vindicated much sooner. If you would have had InfoWars and all our content up there and many of these other voices, we probably would have been able to get the message out and debunk it a lot quicker,
you know,
to prevent the mass hysteria.
You're exactly right. And this is a point that I think Jack Posobiec has made on Twitter and I've seen other people make. It's that, you know, if we didn't have social media, or, you know, people are blaming social media and saying, oh, social media causes these lynch mobs to arise. And that's true to a certain extent. But without that social media, we would have never been able to get that truth out there. Because remember, the original progenitors of this, the original people coming out with this outrage were the mainstream media. So if we still lived in a time where social media did not exist, or in the future when people like us are not allowed on social media, then those fake news, mainstream news sites would be able to push this and generate this outrage without anybody pushing back. It's totally dangerous. I think you're hitting the nail on the head. More with Millie Weaver on the other side. This is the David Knight Show. Harrison Smith sitting in. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to point something out to y'all. Can I get all y'all's attention for a second? Y'all see that young lady right there? Hey, hold on a second. Excuse me, ma'am. You are the waitress. What's your name so we can know?
Shay.
Hi, Shay. Say hello.
Hello.
That's Shay. Let me tell y'all something what just happened with Shay. Now, Shay is the waitress for Hooters. Shay walked up to me and she said, saw my hat and said, are you a Trump supporter?
Yes.
Whilst on her job. Yes. So this is what I was trying to tell y'all about how, for some reason, our women act like being professional just ain't nothing they got to do. Because I don't care what kind of hat I had on. If you are servicing the people. Yeah. Would you then look at a person and say, "What kind of, why do you, do you support Trump?" And then when I said, "Yeah, she." I'm spending money. This all is revolving around a tip. Now this brother was just trying to buy me a drink. That's all he was trying to do. And he told her, "Can you see the drink?" She saw my hat.
So that's Tommy Sotomayor filming in a Hooters where the waitress was basically giving him attitude for having a Make America Great Again hat on. In case you're listening on the radio, yes, Tommy Sotomayor is a black man. Believe it or not, there are black people that support Donald Trump. I know that totally flies in the face of your collectivist identitarian understanding of the world, but people are in fact individuals and have individual mindsets and feelings about things. I know this is shocking to hear for some liberals, but Millie, have you seen that video? And what's behind this? Why are they so easily able to just blanket say, all white people are bad. Oh, unless you're on our team, and we're fighting for all black people. Oh, unless you disagree with us. It's this hypocrisy that they're able to get away with. That's so frustrating to me. And to me, it ties right into the Covington boys, debacle that went on there. It's just hypocrisy run amok, in my opinion. What's your reading of this, Millie?
Well, I think the real story here and the real issue that seems to be perpetuating and building is that we have more and more leftists and liberals calling for violence and mistreatment against Trump supporters or people wearing Make America Great Again hats, or even people who are just conservatives and who don't go along with progressive belief systems. People who dare that speak up against this mob of progressive echo chamber mentality. That's the real story here. We've been seeing more and more incidences where waiters think it's okay to come up and say, "Oh, are you a Trump supporter? Give him attitude." And then you have to wonder, is this person going to spit in my food? I mean, it's worse than that. We've had people chase Candace Owens and Charlie Kirk out of restaurants. We've had people, going outside mobs outside of Tucker Carlson's home. We have leftist celebrities and news anchors calling for violence against people wearing Make America Great Again hats and these Covington high school kids. These are minors that they're calling for violence against and calling for doxing of. These people should be ashamed. And what's alarming is that socially it's becoming more and more acceptable to mistreat people based on their political affiliations or their religious beliefs or their support for the American president of the United States. We had Kathy Griffin, who's a grown woman, okay, obviously not one with much morals. We remember that she had that photo op-ed where she had, a fake President Trump head that she had taken a picture with as though she decapitated the president. She can get away with that. She can remain on Twitter. She can call for the harassment, doxing, and intimidation of minors. She's still on Twitter. We also had SNL writer Sarah Beatty come out on Twitter during this whole, situation with the Covington High School kids. And she literally offered to give sexual favors to the first guy that goes and punches the MAGA kid in the face, the high school kid that the Native American guy came up and starts beating the drum in his face. And he's just literally standing there smiling awkwardly, trying to, just make it through this really intense, awkward situation. So
yeah, and none of these people are being pulled off Twitter. None of these people are being punished. People report these tweets and Twitter comes back saying, "Yeah, it's fine. That guy said, hey, lock the school and burn it down with them inside, but that doesn't violate our terms of service." It's sick.
Yeah, these people can remain on Twitter just fine, even though they're calling for violence, offering sexual favors like a prostitute for someone that goes and punches a minor in the face. This is disgusting, abhorrent behavior, yet Laura Loomer can't be on Twitter. But this girl, this SNL writer, she faces no repercussion and very minimal backlash. The only backlash she's getting is coming from conservative sites like us at InfoWars who are reporting what she said. And she said what she said. We're not perpetuating hit pieces and fake news like the mainstream media does, where they put up edited clips of high school kids and try to demonize them, call for their doxing, and call for violent attacks against them. It's so unbelievable what's happening. And here's a story. At what point are conservatives going to be openly mistreated to the point where minors are even being targeted? Because we know these kids were high school kids, they're minors. And recently when I was in Austin, you know, I take my son to the daycare there every once in a while. And I go in to drop him off at the daycare, and the girl sitting there, obviously progressive. Austin is surrounded by progressive liberals. Mm-hmm. And she goes, she looks at me, and I noticed that the past couple times I've been taking my son, who happens to be a white male, you know, has, you know, blondish hair, to this daycare, he'd been crying and saying, please, no, I don't want to go, and really reluctant to go, which started having me a little suspicious, but I thought maybe it's just he was wanting to spend more time with me. No, I go in there, and the lady goes, oh, are you a reporter? I think I saw some videos, you know, of you on the internet. And she's like giving me this smirk and this condescending look. And I just looked down at my son and I was like, all right. And I just walked out with him because I'm like,
wow,
I get what's going on now. I get what's going on here. Just like this guy who's sitting there in Hooters. Yeah, just like the guy who's sitting there in Hooters. He has this waitress come up to him and ask him if he's a Make America Great Again Trump supporter. And it's like, we know what's happening here. You know, obviously they're going to mess with this guy's food. Obviously, conservatives have to be careful now about their political affiliation and the backlash that these progressives will have against them for speaking out.
Yeah. No, we even have people, you know, literally suggesting, hey, these kids need to go to some sort of re-education center for a little while. It's like we're so close to re-education camps. And I mean, conservatives literally now, it's like you got to hide that you're a conservative. Maybe they'll start putting yellow stars on us to identify, you know, who the bad people are in this society. Totally sick. Now, you are going to be interviewing Joel Patrick in the next segment. I'm going to kind of take a back seat. What are y'all going to talk about?
Well, we're going to be talking about the Covington High School situation that happened. And Joel Patrick, actually, you know, he's an African-American Trump supporter, conservative, very outspoken. He went there to the March for Life, and he actually ran into these Covington High School kids. And on the other side of this break, you're going to find out exactly what they said to him and his direct perspective.
Of deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm Millie Weaver, standing in for David Knight. And we have Joel Patrick joining us, who is an activist. He's a Trump supporter. And he went out to the March for Life, which is what these Covington High School boys were attending. And he was able to give me some insight last night when he called me up and wanted to fill me in on what happened and his suspicions surrounding the incident with the Covington High School boys. So welcome, Joel Patrick, and thanks for joining us. Now, Joel Patrick, what can you tell us about the Covington High School boys and the atmosphere out there during the March for Life?
Okay, thanks for having me on, Millie. I can tell you that the fake news started out with a lie from the very beginning. The first lie they told was that these kids were disrespectful. The second lie they told was that these kids were racist. And the third lie they told was that they instigated the confrontation. I was at the March for Life. I actually didn't even realize it at the time, but I took pictures with some of the kids from Covington Catholic and Owensboro Catholic School during the march. I didn't even, you know, didn't even pay attention until I went back through my camera roll and realized it. First of all, these kids took pictures with me. I'm clearly black and I'm also a Trump supporter. And so the narrative that they were racist, even if what the fake news had said occurred, you know, is completely false. But secondly, there were some antagonizers at the rally that people weren't bringing up. They were from both Texas, that church in Texas, Westboro Baptist, and the Black Israelites. The Black Israelites are a racist organization that claims that they are the true children of Israel. They shouted racial slurs at these Catholic kids. They were purposefully there to stir up trouble. That there was no reason for them to be there because they don't take a stance on being pro-life or pro-abortion. So there was no reason for them to be there. Same thing with Westboro Baptist. If Westboro Baptist is pro-life, then they should be there supporting. But they weren't even there for any reason. I honestly think that certain groups should just not be permitted to be at certain events, because if you're not a protester and you're not a counter-protester, you're just there to antagonize, why are you there? Like, there is no reason for you to be there.
You know, we have to wonder, why were there all of these proselytizers and preachers at this March for Life? Well, it's really quite simple. It's not that they just so happened to be standing there in Washington, D.C., and these MAGA guys, you know, high school boys came up and started harassing them. They were minding their own business. It's really obvious. There was a March for Life, so it's going to draw a bunch of people. There were, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who participated in this march. So, of course, there's going to be proselytizers, preachers, other eccentric groups that want to come and try to preach their opinions and causes and try to pull people over into their belief systems. So you're saying, Joel Patrick, that the mainstream media, the way they displayed this, it didn't take into full account the full atmosphere, right?
Right. And the other thing that it didn't take into account was they weren't even, I don't even know if they were legitimately there to try to convert people to their way of thinking. I mean, the Westboro Baptist people, I was with a group of young ladies who, when they were yelling at them, you're like, you're all whores and you're going to hell. And I was like, you realize that like 90% of the people here are religious and the majority of us are Christians already. So like for you to go around just saying that, it wasn't even like they were trying to win us over to their religion. We already shared their religion. They're just extremists and we don't share their extreme ideology. So I feel like they were there just to get some spotlight, to get some press, to gain national media attention. That the Native American gentleman that was involved in the altercation has been involved in multiple altercations. And for him to say that, you know, these kids were there to disrespect the Native American indigenous people, whatever it was, march, is completely false, because nobody was there for the Indigenous People's March. Nobody even knew what the Indigenous People's March was until it was trending on social media because there was an altercation. People were there for the March for Life. Hundreds of thousands of people were there for that. And that's why everybody was there. And everyone else that was there was just there to start stuff because there was no, I never heard of it. Nobody else had ever heard of it. There was no people there. What, 40 people make it a march? Okay. Tomorrow we're going to have a wear your hat on backwards march. And right in the middle of the Women's March and say that the Women's March had nothing to do with it. No, they came there to start stuff and they successfully started stuff. They were saying things against the kids like, go back to Europe, which can you imagine if a white person wearing a MAGA hat told a black person to go back to Africa? You know, they would be all up in arms, but apparently saying to white people, go back to Europe is cool. So it's cool to be racist as long as you're black or Native American and you're racist against white people, because that's cool, according to the left.
Well, even in the video footage, the full video footage, it showed that the Black Israelites were actually hounding and harassing some of the Black Covington High School students that were there with the other white male Covington High School students that were wearing Make America Great Again hats. So they were also giving a hard time to the Black Trump supporters that were there. And as far as what you're saying, that these groups, these provocative, more extreme groups that were out there kind of harassing the March for Life attendees. We know that during the RNC in Cleveland back in 2016, we had all of these preachers out there, the Westboro Baptist preachers, who were inciting the crowds and stirring up, violence and agitation between the leftists that were out there protesting Trump and some of the conservative Bikers for Trump guys out there. And it then came out in the DNC leaks that the DNC were the ones who were paying for and bringing these Westboro Baptist Church guys out there to perpetuate this lie and this myth that all conservatives and Christians are just a bunch of racist, homophobic, you know, hateful people that want to tell everyone they're going to burn in hell, when you have to wonder, given the coordinated hit pieces and attacks that happened against these high school students, were some of these groups sent out there intentionally by leftist mainstream media outlets to try to incite violence, to try to get a hit piece, to try to demonize the March for Life? Because, hey, we can't have this huge march of people out there calling out the systematic abortion and murder of millions of Americans and let that just stand. You know, the leftist media, of course, are going to attack it.
And I agree with you 100%. I even saw one of the reporters with the New York Times, who his credentials clearly said he was with the New York Times. I asked him who he was with. He wouldn't say. And then I asked him what his name was. He wouldn't give it. So I think they knew that they were about to do something that they had no business doing. And he just didn't want people to know who he was because he knew it would come out who he was and what he was doing there. And I guess apparently they're fine with doxing minors and they're fine with lying about what people did. And that school actually was not able to be open today because of all the threats made against it from the mainstream media. It's unbelievable how many celebrities came out and advocated for violence against children. They advocated for violence against children. And then when it came out that they were wrong, they began silently deleting their tweets. So it looked like they didn't do it. But thankfully, a lot of us have screenshotted many of these tweets, and we are not letting them get away with it this time. Because, you know, saying things like MAGA kids go headfirst into the chipper, and then having a graphic image with that. Like, how is that tolerant? How is that okay? Here's the other thing, and this is just a personal opinion that I have. Why is it that racism is the end all? It's like murder is okay. Preying on children is okay. All of these things are okay, but racism is the end all. It's like, to me, there are things worse than racism. Murder, rape, advocating for violence against children, all of those things are worse than racism, because racism is not this unbelievable end all evil. There are things worse than racism. And I feel like for the news, they just, you know, they put this label of racism out there, like there's nothing in the world that's worse than racism. So I really wish they would stop doing that. Murder is worse than racism. Rape is worse than racism. Advocating for violence against children is also worse than racism. So
exactly. You know, why is it that they turn racism as the be it end all? We'll be hearing more from Joel Patrick on the other side of this break. Stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back. I'm Millie Weaver, and you are listening to The David Knight Show. We're joined with Joel Patrick, who is actually at the March for Life, which is the stage where the Covington High School kids had this incident with the Black Israelites and this Native American elder, which set the mainstream media into a frenzied, hysterical attack on Trump supporters and on these innocent high school kids. Now, it's easy to forget and to think that the mainstream media, the leftists, the progressives, are just only attacking white males and, you know, toxic masculinity or masculinity as a whole. And it's easy to think that, okay, so this is just only that the left and the progressives hate white males and they want to demonize them. But we have to remember, that doesn't mean that they're favoritizing, you know, Black Americans or Hispanic Americans, because the left is the same organization that's pushing and promoting these institutions that are run by globalists that systematically kill and murder and at staggering rates the Black population in America. We know that more than crime, more than accidents, more than cancer, more than heart disease, more than AIDS, Planned Parenthood and abortion kill more Black babies in America and more Black people in America than any of these groups. Yet they want you to believe that these high school kids in MAGA hats are the be-it-all, end-all, horrible, racist enemy of brown people and Black people in America. What do you think about this, Joel Patrick, about how the message here of the March for Life kind of got pushed aside and stomped out by this story that they did on these young high school kids.
Yeah, I 100% agree, because what they did was they took a very important issue, which is the issue of abortion, and that the fact that there were thousands and thousands of young people out there, thousands of young women, thousands of young men fighting for an end to this abortion, they overshadowed it with, oh, but everyone here is definitely a racist. You gotta watch out for these MAGA people. They're all racist. They knew that there would be MAGA people at a pro-life rally because, 90% of MAGA people are pro-life. And so they knew what was going to go on, and they knew that if they could get something started, that they could make it go viral. They already had all the cameras there. I noticed the other thing was the news focused on the counter-protesters. There was probably 20 counter-protesters at the March for Life. There was not many at all. They focused on them like they were this huge group, and they got a whole bunch of different angles and made it look like there was a huge number of them. There wasn't. They didn't focus on the hundreds of thousands of people that were there for the March for Life. But as far as Planned Parenthood is concerned,
showed up to the Women's March. There were Women's March had a small outcome, a small number of people that even showed up to it. Yet the March for Life people had hundreds of thousands. It got barely any coverage. The media didn't want to show that that was happening. And then, like you're saying, they overly inflate the crowds of protesters that were out there. And then, of course, they run all these hit piece on the Covington High School kids and stir the whole message into that these MAGA kids are hateful against African Americans and against Native Americans, when these MAGA kids are out there speaking out against the systematic genocide of Black Americans in this country that's been happening. We've had over 60 million babies aborted in America since the 70s, since Roe versus Wade first was enacted. And the majority of those babies have been Black babies. So these are people who are actually standing up against these genocidal racist institutions like Planned Parenthood. Yet somehow the media turns it into that they're the enemy, they're the racist, they're the problem. What do you think about this, Joel Patrick, as an African-American yourself, about how there's this total flip and twisting that's going on against these MAGA supporters?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely ridiculous and disgusting. And I think the fact that there were people saying to these African-American Trump supporters that were from Covington Catholic, things like, they're going to harvest your organs, you know, you watch out, and things like that. Like, it's absolutely absurd and it's disgusting. And they shouldn't, they're just things that shouldn't be said. And I will say this, also, I was walking at the March for Life, and some of those people from Westboro Baptist Church pointed to a homeless man and said, that's your future. This is what you're going to be. You need to stop buying expensive clothes and being on welfare and turn to God. And I was like, I'm not on welfare. And I was getting into my truck, and he's like, well, actually, you need to stop wasting your money on things you don't need. You and your money are going to hell. And I was like, well, make up your mind. Am I going to hell because I'm poor, or am I going to hell because I'm rich? You can't even make up your mind there. But they said horrible things to people walking by. They were just there. Like, to me, I felt like it went beyond free speech and it went into the realm of harassment. You can't just go up to, you know, children and call them obscenities, like call them whores and whatnot, and think that that's okay. And the fact that people aren't condemning either the Black Muslims or the Westboro Baptist people for what they did and their part in this whole fiasco is mind-boggling to me. Because apparently it's okay, as I've said before, it's okay to be racist as long as you're racist against white people. And apparently it's okay to be racist against Black people as long as they're a Trump supporter. And I think that needs to change.
Exactly. And isn't it amazing how the leftist media's propaganda is able to twist and demonize Trump supporters as racist, and to where you literally have these Black Israelite groups out there saying, oh, watch out, these MAGA supporter white men next to you are going to harvest your organs. All the while, Planned Parenthood is actually the one harvesting Black organs. They're the ones harvesting the baby organs and selling them.
Absolutely. And this kind of reminds me of that the situation we had in – we were actually in Kentucky. We were there actually for a Trump rally. I believe I ran into you guys, and we started talking, and they were actually chanting at me, Black Nazi, go home. You remember that? Like, what does that even mean?
right? They were chanting Black Nazi go home. And then we started chanting back at this group of leftist protesters, fascists go home, fascists go home. Because they were chanting fascist, racist, go home. So we said, yes, fascist, racist, go home. And then the odd thing was they turned around and they started going home. It was like, wow, yeah. I guess the true fascists are going home.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Joel great. Patrick, you had some conversations that seemed to actually really open the eyes and red pill many of these leftist protesters out there when you were talking about the Planned Parenthood racist history that we know about Margaret Sanger and the amount of, you know, black babies that are being targeted in these by these abortion clinics. It was pretty amazing to see how effective you were at combating these people. Have you been going out there to these protests and trying to have conversations with these leftists and having any success?
Well, I've been trying to. We haven't had any recently, but I'm sure there's going to be plenty in the coming year. Reminds me of a video I actually saw put on by Live Action where someone actually asked, they asked if their donation could specifically go to kill a black baby. And the organization said, yeah, that's fine. Just donate here and do this. And to me, it was like, how are you that okay with being a racist that you would allow people to specify the race of the baby they can abort? It's unbelievable.
It's disgusting. And we've seen that, like you were saying, the leftists, the liberals are able to justify being racist towards black people if they're Trump supporters. They're able to justify being misogynistic and anti-woman against conservative women, women that are not for killing and murdering their babies. We know InfoWars reporter Caitlin Bennett recently went to the, you know, Women's March up in Cleveland, and she was attacked, harassed, assaulted by many of these feminists out there and male feminists out there. This male feminist in particular threatened her. He threatened to late term, what did he say? He said after term abort her. So he's essentially admitting that abortion is murder.
Yeah. Yeah. And he essentially said he wanted to murder her present day. So that's a threat. That's not a woman's choice right there. That's just you being a murderous, threatening individual.
Exactly. And they don't support women's choice to have a firearm to protect themselves, to protect their own personal safety. But they'll say all day, oh, we're for women's rights, we're for women in general. No, because if you're a conservative woman, you get out there, you get harassed, you get attacked. If you're a black Trump supporter, you get harassed, you get attacked. These people are claiming that they're for these minority groups or these oppressed groups. But all the while, you only get the protections if, in fact, you go along with their narrative and their belief systems and push their progressive agenda. Well, thank you so much, Joel Patrick, for joining us. This, you know, has been the end of the David Knight Show.